You're listening to the Boogeyman's Closet podcast. Explicit language and spoilers ahead. You've been warned. And we are back for yet another episode of the Boogeyman's Closet. As always, I am Mike Alvarez.
Maurice Killever.
And I did not die of Rona.
Yes, we didn't specify last episode, but no, Susie did not have the Rona.
So. No, I suffer from migraines and get them really bad. And I was down for an entire week. So thank you, John, for sitting in on last week's episode. I appreciate you and I love you.
Absolutely. Dawn's our fifth Beatle.
She is. She's our recurring character.
Yep. I even have the channel named that when we record with her.
Right.
Well, this is, we are starting a new month of movies. This is for spooky October. We're, covering horror movies that take place on Halloween. So this is episode 65, and we're kicking it off with Idle Hands from 1999. It's an hour and 32 minutes, and directed by Rodman Flender, who also did Leprechaun 2, and then a movie called Eat Brains Love, which I need to track down because that sounds funny. And two episodes of Tales from the Crypt. He did 98 and 42, 100% horror, or pure horror, which is the one where the lady makes her husband into bars of soap. And then Food for Thought, which is the one with, it's like there's the circus and a mind reader. And this, it's weird. Like, this guy is constantly using his girlfriend to read minds. It's a strange episode. It's got Ernie Hudson in it, and he's a real dick in it. But anyway, let's go around the table and see what everyone thought. So, Susie, we'll start with you this week. What's your thoughts on Idle Hands?
I really like this movie. It's funny. It's 90s. It's so entertaining and just so, like, preposterous.
That's a good word for it.
Yeah, it's just, it's a fun ride. So don't expect anything like deep and meaningful. It's just, it's a fun movie. I have loved Seth Green ever since I was a teenager. Like, come on, Can't Hardly Wait, Buffy.
Yep.
Like, he's just, he's amazing. And then there's Foggy from Daredevil, which when Shane and I watched this last night, I'm like, oh my God, that's Foggy. Because I haven't seen this movie in forever, but it was fun. It is fun. It's just ridiculous, and you're gonna laugh your pants off. Hopefully, not make tinkle in them though. And also, come on, Offspring. How 90s can you be?
Right. All the whole soundtrack. Like, yeah, they had the great cameo, but the whole soundtrack to this was awesome.
Yes.
It's, I know, Maurice, that's usually your bag to say, but, you know, I fucking love the soundtrack. But, Maurice, what are your thoughts on this?
I think it's garbage.
What?
Garbage.
Garbage. Wait, are you being serious?
No, I'm not. Oh, no, it. I haven't done it in a while, so I figured I'd throw it out there to get spooky season started.
You did scare me for a minute.
That's true.
I know. Make sure you delete that picture, though.
We'll be posting it on the social media. No,
I enjoyed this movie. I haven't seen it in a while, but it's aged pretty good. I mean, I've seen worse from the 90s.
Oh yeah,
but I've also seen better. But no, I thought the scenes with the hand and all that. You know, I don't know who did the work on that, but I didn't really look into it. But do you know offhand, Mike?
For who played the hand?
Not who played it, but like who did the makeup and stuff, the effects.
No, I actually didn't look that up. But there is someone who played the hand.
Oh yeah, but It's actually the same hand used in the Addams Family.
Yep, I
saw that. But no, it's a really great cast. Like Susie said, I love Seth Green.
Mm-hmm.
I can never remember his name, but is it Eldon Hansen? Or
yes, I think that's Foggy.
Yeah, I should probably open my notebook so I can see his name.
Yeah, Eldon Hansen.
Yeah, I remember when Daredevil came out and I saw his name, I knew he was the same one that played in this movie. He hasn't really done much, but I like him in all the movies I've seen him in. Devin Saw is pretty good. This and Final Destination were his two really big ones.
Casper, come on.
I see SLC Punk.
SLC Punk, yeah.
Yeah, he can't get off that little post. He's
yeah. But I mean, yeah, Vivica A. Fox before she was really big.
Yep.
And of course, my eye candy, the beautiful, luscious Fred Willard. I love Fred Willard. Oh, and Jessica Alba's in it.
Yes, this is true.
I enjoy the movie. I love that the Offspring are in it, even though you know they're lip singing.
Oh yeah,
lip syncing. But one thing I did notice watching it yesterday that I never noticed before is Dexter Howell is wearing an AFI shirt.
Yeah,
yeah. I didn't notice that until yesterday either.
And when I looked on the notes, you know, the behind the scenes stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He had just signed them to his Nitro Records.
Yeah.
So what a great way to promote them.
Yep.
Back then, you know, to promote your newest signing, which AFI has turned out pretty damn good, if I must say.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Definitely a fan.
But, I mean, there's not really much to say. It's a really good movie that has aged pretty well.
Yeah, no, I would agree. Like, I remember seeing this movie in the theater and really liking it the first time I saw it, just because it's I love dark comedies. I mean, those are really my favorite types of horror movies that are just completely silly, like splatstick, lots of funny gore.
Yeah,
that's my jam. So like when I saw this in the theater, I fell in love with it. Now it's been many years since I've watched it. In fact, I think the last time I saw this was when I was still living at my parents' house. So I don't think I've seen it since like 2002. But there's a lot of stuff that didn't quite hold up for me as well as I remember. But then there was a lot of stuff that had me fucking roaring because I completely forgot about it. I would definitely recommend this film to anyone who likes, you know, comedic horror. If you like stuff like Shaun of the Dead, Return of the Living Dead, all that, just definitely do yourself a favor and watch this if you haven't.
It's been out for 21 years, so how have you not seen it?
Right. Well, I don't remember this being that big of a flick when it came out. Like, I remember a lot of people kind of passing it by. I don't know. There are some moments that really don't age well for me. For example, Jessica Alba's character. She's...
Oh, my God.
The perfect example of she's nothing more than a prize for the guy. She's such a two-dimensional character. It's like, this is painful to watch. That did not age well at all for me.
She's become a much better and bigger actress since then.
Oh yeah, and I'm sure she was a good actress then too, but it's just the character was
right.
Was
just, I mean, it's not her fault. Yeah.
Yeah, no, the character was nothing more than, okay, you are Anton's prize. You know, it's like, it's a little much. But anyway, let's get through the cast. Like we've mentioned a few of them already, but main character Anton Tobias, played by, how do you say his last name? Is it Devin Sawa?
I think it's Sawa.
Sawa. Okay. Devin Sawa, Casper, SLC Punk, Final Destination, Slackers, The Devil's Den, and SLC Punk 2, Punk's Dead. Then we have Mick, played by Seth Green. Obviously, we had mentioned before, he's in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Can't Buy Me Love, the original miniseries for It, the Austin Powers films, Robot Chicken, That 70s Show. He's in everything. Then we have, I thought this was, his name was going to be pronounced Nub, but it's P-Nub.
It is P-Nub. I know. When I wrote it down, I was like, all right, it's Nub. Nope. Yeah.
P-Nub.
I forgot. It's pronounced P-Nub.
And which makes me think, like, how did he get this name? What is this name? But played by Eldon Henson, Mighty Duck, She's All That, The Butterfly Effect, Hunger Games, and then obviously the Marvel Netflix stuff. So Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, all that.
I didn't write it down, but I thought in the behind the scenes it said why they called him Pino.
Oh yeah, there was some SNL reference.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But the thing was, like, I'm just saying, like, in the context of the movie, like, why would he be called that? You know? So, like,
yeah.
Like, I'm sure that's not his real name, but what the hell created that nickname? So, and then we have Molly, played by Jessica Alba, Dark Angel, Sin City, Fantastic Four, the Machete movies. She's in a bunch of great stuff. Debbie LeCure, played by Vivica A. Fox, Fresh Prince, Independence Day, Batman and Robin. right? Kill Bill, Teaching Mrs. Tingle, and Sharknado 2, the second one.
Yes.
Then we have The Hand, played by Christopher Hart. Now, this guy, his entire shtick is playing disembodied hands. He played, he played Thing in the Addams Family movies. He was the disembodied hand in Quicksilver Highway and the disembodied hand in Angel. So.
And he was in My Bed Last Night.
Oh, well, oh, then. How'd that go? Right.
It went, all right.
all right. then we have Randy, played by Jack Noseworthy, Encino Man, Brady Bunch movie, Barb Wire. The movie I always think of him from is Event Horizon, when he gets jettisoned out the airlock. That scene always freaks me out. And then he's in Cecil B. Demented, which is another great flick if you've never seen it. Then Tanya is played by Katie Wright, The Wonder Years, It's Pat the Movie, and Melrose Place.
Oh, It's Pat. Oh my goodness, I forgot about that movie.
I know, I forgot that even existed until I saw this.
Did we ever find out ever, like, if that's a guy or girl? Did they ever reveal?
I don't think so.
Like, nope. Even up to now, no, we still don't know, huh?
Nope, never know. and then we have McMacy, played by Sean Whalen, The People Under the Stairs, Batman Returns, Waterworld, Cable Guy, Men in Black, Halloween 2, all over the place. Then we have Ruck, played by Nicholas Sadler, The Cosby Show, Stopper My Mom Will Shoot, Earth 2, Twister, bunch of great stuff. Then they never say his name in the credits, but it's Dad Tobias. I guess they said his name in the movie at one point. But Father Tobias, played by Fred Willard. I mean, this guy, he's a fucking legend. He's in pretty much everything comedic on television.
He's dead now.
Yeah. I'm that just happened this year, right?
Yeah, he died in May.
Yeah, that was sad. But, I mean, good God, Get Smart, Laverne and Shirley, you know, the Bob Newhart Show. He was in This is Spinal Tap. He's our Murder, She Wrote connection. Roseanne, The Simpsons, Austin Powers, Family Guy, King of the Hill. Then he was even in the old Stephen King Salem's Lot, the original TV series or TV miniseries. With that fucking terrifying version of Barlow. Oh, my God, that vampire still gives me nightmares. Then Mom Tobias is played by Connie Ray. She's in Quantum Leap, Space Jam, Speed 2, ER, Lost Souls, and The Time Machine.
And the Torkelsons.
The Torkelsons.
That was a Disney Channel show that was on for like one season. She was a single mom. I think like the dad died. How cliche. And she was just trying to raise her ragtag group of kids.
Never even heard of this.
I watched it. Whatever. I was a really weird teen, so.
The Torkelsons. That's a fun name. But so the basic plot for people who haven't seen this is basically a teenage slacker who literally does nothing all day. His right hand becomes possessed and decides to go on a murdering spree. So with comedic effect.
Yes.
So we open the film with a montage of credits and CGI blood people, which I don't know why that made me giggle, but like the really shiny blood people in the opening credit montage just made me giggle. It's very dated by today's standards. And then we open up with Anton's house at night, and we see it's all decked out for Halloween. There's like two jack-o'-lantern headed scarecrows in the front window. We kind of zoom in and we go into the parents' room and we meet, you know, mom and dad Tobias, and they're getting ready for bed. And she's like, "You blew out the candles and the jack-o'-lanterns, didn't you?" And we clearly saw them already lit. And he's like, "Yeah, sure I did." And she gets into bed and they're talking. She's already talking about decorations for Thanksgiving. He's like, "Damn it, woman, we just put up the Halloween decorations. Calm down." And they turn off the lights and she sees written on the ceiling, "I'm under the bed." She freaks out, makes dad check. He looks under the bed. Nothing's there. And he comments that it's probably a prank from Anton. And she goes, "Not my little scooter." He goes, "Would you stop calling him that? He can't even scoot his butt off the damn couch."
Which is true.
Right. And so he goes on to bitch about how lazy Anton is. Then we hear a noise downstairs. And she comments on the dog being in the yard. And he goes, "Well, it must have been the cat then." And then she's like, "Well, go check it out. Go see." So he's like, "All right." So he goes down to look, and mom is still laying in bed, you know, kind of listening. We hear oh, God.
Before that, doesn't she ask him if he blew out the jack-o'-lanterns?
Yeah, that was earlier, yeah. And he was like, okay. Yeah, sure I did.
You never blow out the jack-o'-lanterns. Oh, that's the wrong movie.
Yeah, well, and plus, that's got to be on Halloween night.
Right.
True.
This is the night before.
Oh, it is the night before. It's not on Halloween, is it?
The rest of the movie takes place on Halloween.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he goes downstairs, and then we hear a thump and the dog barking and then more thumping. The mom gets nervous, grabs her knitting stuff, and starts to knit. And then we get the cat jump scare. You know, the ever-present cat jump scare. Yeah. With that fucking screech. Like, okay, now, have you ever had a cat jump on you? Like, you've had cats, I'm sure, most of your life. Have you ever had a cat jump on you and go, "Row, row, row," like, just screech when it does so?
Never. Right.
I've only ever had a cat make a sound like that when they're fighting.
Like, right.
When two of my cats are fighting. But in every single horror movie, if a cat jumps up on something, it goes, "Row, row," and spazzes. It's like, they're all fucked up. But anyway.
Or so the ones that sound like jaguars.
Yeah, or whatever that
was. Yes.
that crazy sound from Amityville Horror.
Yes.
So we hear dad downstairs. We hear him yell. And then pots and pans are clanging. Mom calls out to him. He doesn't answer, so she goes to investigate. On her way over there, she calls up into the attic for Anton, who doesn't respond.
Anton! That's kind of what she sounds like.
It is. It's very much what she sounds like. And then we hear more banging downstairs. So she goes downstairs, finds that the jack-o'-lanterns are still lit. And she's like, "You told me you blew these out." She runs over, blows out the jack-o'-lanterns, and then slips in blood. She looks down, sees the blood all over the place, runs upstairs screaming and yelling for Anton. She goes in her bedroom and tries to call the cops. The phone is yanked out of her hands and under the bed. So she gets down on the floor to go try to grab the phone. A hand reaches out, grabs her, yanks her under the bed. Bed lifts up, comes down, and a giant gush of blood shoots out from under the bed.
That's a solid opening.
Oh, God, yeah. And I loved how the bed looked like it was chewing. Like, it was rattling up and down, and you see more blood. And then it pans up to the "I'm under the bed" written on the ceiling. So, it's like, bye-bye, Mom. And then we cut to the next morning. And again, this it's one of those subtle moments, but it was really fucking funny. Anton wakes up. He's got headphones on. There's music playing. He whips the headphones off like, ugh. And then he grabs another pair of headphones connected to a Discman and starts playing the exact same song again.
No, it was a Walkman.
But was it a Walkman? I thought it was a Discman.
Yes. No, it was a disc. It was a Walkman.
Oh, wow. So they were dated even in the 90s then.
Yep.
But it's like, I love the fact that he had the headphones connected to the radio and it was playing this song, and then he yanks them off and then puts on headphones and plays the same song.
Yep.
So he goes stumbling downstairs. Completely.
Mom, we're out of milk.
We're out of dog food. Yeah, he's a complete loser. He's completely oblivious to what's going on. He walks by the cat licking blood on the floor, tries to go get himself some cereal, but out of milk, like you said. And then we see the dog, poor dog, like banging his bowl on the floor and yells, we're out of dog food. And I just wrote, Anton is useless.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He flops on the couch, lights up some incense, grabs a back scratcher and starts scratching his nuts, which, again, that cracked me up.
That's so 90s, though. Do you remember, like, late 90s, early 2000s? Candles were not what you had in your house. You burned incense.
Yep. Yeah, I remember that. I personally did not, because I rarely found incense that I liked the smell of, but almost everybody I knew had incense in their room.
And we always knew one person, at least, who always smelled like patchouli. And Mike, you know who I'm talking about.
This is true. This is true.
And we're in a Baja.
Yep. Oh, God, them itchy motherfucking Bajas. That just made me itch thinking about it. Because I had my fair share of them, too, in the 90s. And, man, they were itchy. I don't know how the hell those became popular.
They were made with, like, goat taint.
Goat tainted needles. Like,
yeah,
it was horrible. But so he starts watching TV, but he's not listening. He's got his headphones on and he's completely oblivious to what's happening on the television while he's smoking up out of a asthma inhaler bowl,
which is pretty inventive, I might say.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's kind of ingenious in a way, because he just carries it around with it. But on the television, the news is playing and it says murder in Bolin, a special report. Four bodies have been discovered to date and the killer is still at large. Bolin has been gripped with fear as the killings have spread from the local postal route to the bowling alley and now to our very own Burger Jungle. And we see the Burger Jungle restaurant. And they say with Halloween only one day away, Bolin officials have set a 9 p.m. curfew for all teenagers. So Anton isn't paying attention to any of this, and he's just smoking up. We get a little montage of him finishing up his weed, and then he calls his friend. Oh, good.
Don't forget, he's watching Mr. Magoo.
Oh, yeah, yep. He changes it to cartoons, which is going to play a role a little later as well. I'm glad you mentioned that. And then he calls his friends and just goes, I'm out. And they go, so? And he goes, so can you bring me a dime? And he goes, this ain't Domino's, you lazy bitch. Come over and get it. And he goes, but I'm comfortable. And they just hang up on him.
And that is so fucking great.
I love that. They say Domino's, you lazy bitch. Oh, so Anton heads out in a t-shirt, hoodie, boxers, and pink fuzzy slippers.
Great. To go next door.
Yeah.
And climb in through the basement window like in Mallrats.
Yep. And on his way, he passes by Randy, who's fixing his car and listening to Shout at the Devil, which I'm pretty sure he just listens to on a loop. Because every time we see him, he's listening to Shout at the Devil.
You mm-hmm. say Randy, but what you really mean is the Good Value Bon Jovi. That's our Shane-ism for this episode.
It's really fucking accurate, too. So Anton arrives at his friend's house, and he wants some weed, and Mick tells me, he's like, oh, sorry, this bong is cashed. And he goes, I came all the way over here because you guys said you were holding. And then P-Nub goes, yeah, but I didn't say what I was holding. And he just grabs his nuts.
I mean, that's like what they do, though.
Of course. But I love that he's like, I came all the way over here. Like, bitch, you walked across the street.
Right.
But so they, P-Dub tells him, he's like, I heard you can get really high smoking nutmeg and oregano. It's like, maybe you can try that. Yeah. And then they berate Anton for being such a lazy fuck and tell him he needs some ambition. And this is something that will play a little role later. But he tells him his perfect life would be to lay in bed all day while some hot broad delivers him food.
Yep.
And then P-Dub says, yeah, until your parents kick you out. And he goes, you know, I haven't seen my parents for a few days. And they go, maybe they're dead. Party at Anton's. And he goes, dude, that's not cool. He goes, hey, I'm just saying, with the killer on the loose, you never know. So, dun, 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 foreshadow.
So has he been up in his attic room, like, for days at a time?
I think so.
Because his parents just got killed last night.
He's been up well, there.
It's funny because they say to him, onto that point, don't you watch the news? He says, I fucking hate that show.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is hilarious because he was watching it earlier.
Yeah.
But not paying attention. But yeah, because he was like, you know, what do you mean murders? And they tell him about how their little town is famous now. And they mention specifically the Burger Jungle and that the Feldstein twins were murdered. And then we hear a motorcycle in the distance. Anton runs to the window and we watch Molly drive down the street. And his friends are kind of, you know, making fun of him for never going and talking to her. And they try to convince him, like, just go and fucking talk to her. And Mick goes, I don't know, ask her to the dance or something. And Anton goes, oh, yeah, are you guys going? He goes, hell no. Can you see us dressing up in some stupid costumes, grooving a Hanson and Jewel? What do we look like, total losers? As he's scratching his balls and then sniffs his hand. Oh, that was foul. But Anton notices that Molly dropped her lyrics book, and Mick suggests, he's like, well, go bring it to her. Be your knight in shining armor or some shit. So Anton psychs himself up and decides he's going to go over there. And P-Dub is like, you want to borrow some pants first, Chief? You know, first impressions and all. And he's like, oh, you're a bud. And he grabs the pants and goes.
But the thing is, like, those pants are clearly not the right size if it's P-Dub's house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're definitely baggy as shit. So
that's why they look like Good Value JNCOs.
Ah, good point. And they kind of did.
Yeah.
God fucking JNCOs. I couldn't
fit an entire family of 12 in your pant leg. It was only a family of 8 on those jeans.
I never had a pair, but so many people I knew had them.
Oh my God, Kara.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I still have
a pair.
Do you really?
You're wearing them tomorrow to work, aren't you?
I won't be. I'll be the only one at work tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Saturday.
Oh, yeah. No, today's my Thursday, but it's, you know, normal people's Friday.
So I guess I could wear them to work tomorrow. Nobody will see me.
That is true.
Technically, it's my Friday for once as well, but I also got done working 7 days in a row, so I'm tired.
Cheers.
Cheers to that.
Oh, yeah. I have some Sam Adams Oktoberfest outside waiting, out in the little breezeway waiting for me.
Good. I'm glad. I was going to say, I hope you're going to get yourself totally schnockered or at least get a good buzz.
You should try the Jacko by Sam Adams.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that. I haven't tried that one yet.
It's pumpkin pie delish.
Ooh.
It is so good.
As soon as I knew that I was working 7 in a row, I'm like, yep, I'm going to go get some beer. Because I'm like, when I'm done, I'm gonna have some drinks.
God, when I work 5 in a row, I'm like, God, I need a drink.
Yeah, trust me, after this week, whew, but I digress.
People.
What's that?
I said people.
Yeah, they make you want a drink.
Yep.
So he goes and gets her book and brings it over. And right as he's going to knock on the door, like he has a second thought. Like, well, first he looks in and reads a couple. Because I missed that part. When he was talking to Mick and P-Nub, he was telling them about her lyrics and how, you know, he loves her songs and she's a genius and this, that, and the other. So he kind of.
Wait for it.
What's it?
When he recites some lyrics.
Oh,
yeah, she's a real fucking genius.
I didn't write them down. I hope somebody did. But anyway, yeah. So he grabs the book and he goes over there. And he goes to knock and quickly first looks in there and reads him again. And then she opens the door. He panics, shoves the book on her. She's like, oh, my book. And then he just like runs away as she's trying to talk to him. And he's just like, nope, 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 nope. Scurries off, obviously scared. So We cut to.
I think he gave her a whiplash.
Yeah, he shoved that book out.
Possibly.
Yeah, he definitely does not have nerves of steel.
No. Although apparently that clears up later. We cut to the Beaver, Utah Police Department, and we see a cop leading a nun into the cell block. And he's like, "You sure you want to talk to him, Sister Liquor?"
It's liqueur.
Yeah, she's like, "That's liqueur, and I know what I'm doing."
And I totally thought of, because we're going to cover it soon, House of a Thousand Corpses, the name of the liquor store is Pussy Liquor. So I was like, the Rob Zombie song, Pussy Liquor, from that movie. I'm like, Sister Liquor!
Oh, with good old G. Ober.
Yep. G. Uber. Oh, no, it is G. Ober.
Yeah.
That's Goober.
He put that other O in there. Now it says Goober. Oh, man. So she goes into the cell block, and she ends up finding this catatonic man with, like, a gnarled hand. Like, his hand is all just fucked up. And we cut outside, and we see Debbie LeCure walking back to her RV, removing her nun costume, and complaining that she's missed it again. She gets in the RV, and we see all over the walls, there are newspaper articles of various murders, and she has this giant map, and she X's out another spot on the map, then looks and reads about the murders in Bolin, and X's out another spot on the map, and then she notices a pattern. She starts circling it and making the pattern, and it's a big-ass pentagram. So she's like, holy shit, and rushes off to Bolin. Like, clearly there's something gonna happen there. Then we cut to...
Can I interject for a moment?
Yeah, go ahead.
So the lyrics that he tells Molly is his favorite. Devil girl with nothing to lose. She got wind in her hair and gum on her shoes.
Yeah, she's a lyrical genius.
You know what? I thought I was a lyrical genius when I was 17. And here I am doing what I do for work. Paying my bills.
Exactly.
Molly, don't quit your day job.
So we cut to Anton coming home through a foggy alleyway with a cart full of groceries. He hears a noise, stops, looks around, and suddenly someone just, like, body checks him to the ground. And they're yelling at him, roll over, roll over. He rolls over and he sees two cops. And they're like, oh, it's just Anton. They're like, what are you doing in this neighborhood? And he's like, I live here. I'm like, oh. Just kind of look at him. And he goes, hey, I recognize you guys. You were seniors when I was a freshman. And they start yelling at him about how him and his friends never hung out with him. He goes, yeah, you never asked us out behind the gym to get high. And he goes, well, you guys were dorks.
Yep.
And they get all pissed. And then he asks him, he's like, look, you know, are you guys holding? I know I'm really desperate.
He's like something from an evidence locker.
And he's
trying to score from a cop?
He's like, you fucking moron. And then they start searching him. They find the baggie on him. They sniff it, say that, okay, you know, it's marijuana. And he's like, you know, they start writing him a ticket. He's like, oh, come on, you guys can't cite me for having a baggie. I know my rights. So he balls it up and drops it on the ground. He goes, littering, maximum fine. And they give him a $200 ticket. And so now we cut back to him at his house using the ticket as a rolling paper.
Yep.
That cracked me up.
With the oregano and what was the other one? Rosemary?
Nutmeg.
Nutmeg and oregano.
That has to smell so bad.
It made me cough just watching it. I have never tried that. I knew people in high school who did.
Yeah.
See, and it never ended well.
I don't know anyone that did the nutmeg and oregano. I know people that did the catnip one. Where it was like, why?
That must be a Niagara Wheatfield thing, because down in the hood in Niagara Falls, we could afford, you know, 50-cent spices. Yeah. Catnip was too fancy for our kind.
Oh, yeah. I never heard good stories about any of these. But.
And I'm really glad that I never experienced it, because now I'm like, asshole.
Right. Yeah, no, I can't say that I ever experienced any of that shit either. So he's rolling up the paper or rolling up the joint, the nutmeg and oregano joint, and he hears creaking sounds. So he turns off the TV and listens. And again, the physical comedy in this scene was great because he's listening and we just hear the dog panting, and he slowly reaches over and just closes the dog's mouth with one hand.
Yep.
I love that. He listens, nothing, you know, he doesn't hear anything. So he goes back to the TV and takes a big old puff off of his fake ass joint and immediately regrets it.
He immediately dies and then is simultaneously brought back to life.
Right. He rushes to the sink and starts washing his mouth out and squirting dish soap in his mouth.
Which could not have made it better.
Right. Oh, I love that part. But he's, so now we cut to him just watching TV and making a bologna sandwich, not watching at all, not paying attention to what he's doing. And we see he takes his big old knife that's covered in blood.
He's paying attention because, and I pointed this out to Shane, the song that is playing, so Rob Halford, mm-hmm. who is the frontman for Judas Priest,
yep.
he teamed up with Trent Reznor in the late 90s and tried to go the industrial route. And that is his band too. And the one single that they had. And I bought that CD because I was like, I fucking love Judas Priest. This is going to be great. And that was the only good song. So he was mesmerized by the fun bags on the TV screen, the boobies.
Yep.
And he's just making this bloody bologna sandwich. And he's not even fucking paying attention. And it isn't until he takes a bite of it and looks at the knife and the fucking jar of mayonnaise and realizes, like, that's not strawberry jelly. And then he's like,
that's not cranberry sauce.
That's right. That is not cranberry sauce. And then the dog is like licking and kicking around an eyeball. And that's when he starts freaking the fuck out.
Right. Oh, no, it was the cat. Because he looks down, he sees cat, the cat.
That's right.
And he runs hugs his dog.
And that's when he falls down. And that's when we find that his parents turned into the pumpkin people.
Right. Well, there's a little bit between that because he hugs his dog and then we cut to the dog being shoved into the hallway before him.
Yes.
I read on the trivia before watching this that you can clearly see the dog has a red rocket. And yeah, it's there. It's like, oh, I wish I didn't know that.
I did read that and I did not go back and watch it.
No, I did not read that, nor did I notice that. And I'm okay with that.
I read that prior to watching it, and I was a little sad I did, because, yeah, it's there.
But sorry about your luck.
I know, I'm like, aw, Red Rocket. So he shoves the dog into the hallway, and then he goes to run outside, but we see a shadow outside the window, and he freaks out, runs upstairs into his parents' bed, and hides under the sheet like a little kid, and yells for the dog. The dog comes up, jumps under the bed with him. They cover up. And then Anton reaches out to try to grab the phone, and he ends up hitting the alarm clock and turning on the buzzer, spazzes out, jumps out from under the sheet, and sees "I'm under the bed" written on the ceiling, and then screams and goes, "He's under the bed!" and runs downstairs, trips over an umbrella, face plants on the wall, and then falls into the two jack-o'-lantern people. And then when they fall down and the heads crash open, we see dead mom and dad Tobias, and he freaks, you know, and understandably so, runs outside to puke, and we see Mick and P-Nub out there. And
every time I hear you say P-Nub, I think you're going to say Peanut.
We'll just call him Peanut.
All right, we'll call him Peanut.
Well, he has a small penis, so he pees out his nub.
See, you know, when I was saying earlier that I want to know what the context is for that nickname, the first
thing
that went to my head was, you got a little nubby dick? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, and he pees out of it.
A baby pee-pee?
Yeah, he's got a little microphallus.
That's why he was so excited to get laid.
Right.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that.
So Mick grabs the two, Anton grabs the two of them and shoves them inside, trying to show them his parents are dead. And when they go in, they're like, oh my God. And we see on the television, Pop That Coochie by Two Live Crew.
Pop that coochie, pop, pop that coochie, pop, pop. And they're like, I didn't think this could be shown. And Anton thinks that they're like, oh my God, your parents are dead. Because he's like, guys, I want to show you something. They walk in and they see the video and then they start like dancing.
And they were totally doing the Beavis and Butthead dance.
They were. I loved it.
Oh, man, because freaking Beat Up was doing the whole, like, handout slapping in front of him thing.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Oh, so, the 90s were such simpler times.
They really were.
Indeed.
So that he finally gets them to look down and see his dead parents because he turns off the television. They spaz out. I love it because P-Dub checks him for a pulse, even though they're like fucking stiff from Rick and Mortis.
He's like, Mr. Tobias, Mrs. T.
And then he starts punching him in the chest. And he goes, dude, what are you doing? He goes, CPR, I saw it on Baywatch. And then freaking Mick finds a scrap of gray cloth in Mom's hand. And he goes, look, a clue. Totally.
Jinkies.
Yeah.
And then
I found the clue.
We see Anton look down and he notices a piece of his shirt is missing and quickly covers it up. And then Anton notices that written in blood on the floor, it says ant. And then Pete up goes, ant? They were killed by ants? And Mick goes, don't be stupid. Do you have like an evil ant or something? But then they notice something else that had gotten spilled in the kerfuffle was a bag of onion rings from Burger Jungle. And it spills out two severed ears.
Left ears.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, because Mick realizes he looks at him and he goes, they're both lefts. And then he goes, the Feldstein twins. And Mick looks at Anton's shirt, notices the missing part, walks over slowly holding it out. Like putting a jigsaw puzzle piece in.
Yep.
Catches that it's Anton's shirt. And he goes, dude.
The killer was wearing your shirt.
Yeah. And that's when Anton notices the black light paint on his hand. And he goes, I think the killer was wearing me. And then he goes, I'm the killer. And freaking P-Dub starts smoking up. And Mick goes, I'm going to go call 911. What's the number again? It's like, oh Lord.
Stoner and he says, humor. Don't worry, it's gonna be okay. If OJ can get off.
Yeah, I'm sure you can. Well, because he goes to call the cops and then Anton runs in the room and yanks the phone out of the wall. And he's like, oh, okay, Anton, calm down. He's like, it's not me, I didn't do anything. And he's trying to like calm him down and convince him he's innocent. That's what he's like, well, you know, if OJ can get off, I'm sure you can too. And then he opens the fridge door between them to kind of like put a little distance between them and picks up a beer and goes, want a beer? And Anton's evil hand smashes the beer and jams it in Mick's head. But we don't see that in his head yet.
We just hear him screaming.
Yeah, we see P-Nub smoking up and we hear the scream. And then he looks and we just see dead Mick with the beer bottle shoved in his fucking skull, which is such a great look. I love that costume.
Yep, like, I do
that,
too.
That makeup, it's so cool. But he falls down dead. P-Nub screams, and Anton's like freaking out, his hands all twitching. And he's like, why'd you do that? What are you doing? P-Nub tries to run out of the house, and freaking Anton goes and closes the door. And so I'm just going to call him Peanut. So Peanut runs down into the basement. I'm sick of saying P-Nub.
He says, I don't want to hurt you. And then P-Nub's like, then don't.
That's right. He's like, then don't, man. And he's like, dude, you ran in the basement. There's nowhere for you to go. So he opens the door and he starts chasing him down into the basement. And Peanut's got a freaking, like, what do you have? Like a freaking spade or something? He had some kind of gardening tool.
Yes.
And Anton's evil hand grabs a screwdriver and rushes him and ends up missing and hitting the big snowman decoration. And he's like, I don't know how long I can hold it. You need to go. And he's like, okay, Anton, move out of the way. Then he's like, just go. And he's like, ah, and he runs away. And the evil hand grabs a saw blade, throws it at him like a frisbee, takes his head clean off.
Oh, such a cool scene, though.
In right? His dying breath, he says, cool.
Yeah. And then, of course, Anton screams because he just killed both of his friends. Then we see him stagger upstairs. His evil hand is all twitching. He sits on the couch, it grabs the remote control and turns on Chiller. And then we get this back and forth comedy routine where Good Hand grabs the remote, turns on cartoons. Evil Hand grabs the remote, turns on horror movies. And it's just going back and forth and back and forth. And then eventually the poor cat comes up. The poor Bones. Oh. And Evil Hand grabs Bones by the tail, swings it around like a lasso, and throws the poor bastard out the window and across the street.
Through the basement.
No, he was upstairs. Remember, he staggered back upstairs to the living room.
No, the cat.
No, the cat was went in the bushes.
I thought the cat goes through into the basement window.
No, he was in the bushes because I remember he's digging around in the bush later.
Oh, okay.
So he goes running across the street to look for the cat, and which is out in front of Molly's house. So he's digging around through the bushes, and the evil hand forces him to get up on the porch and ring the doorbell repeatedly. So he's fighting with his hand, trying to take his hand off the doorbell. And Molly comes to the door right as Anton falls backward into the bushes, and she thinks he's playing Ding Dong Ditch. She's like, aren't you a little too old to play Ding Dong Ditch?
Also, I want to point out, who really answers the door like that?
Right. In the little, her underwear, the half shirt, and like an open nightgown.
Right. She was wearing boxers, a half shirt, and a robe that she didn't even have tied. Like, people don't really answer the door like that. That's like out of a porno movie.
All right, listen, guys. It's movie magic, and you got it, rock it.
Well, and this is why I'm saying, like, her character was clearly just Anton Prize.
Right.
But
sorry, it wasn't Fred Willard, Maurice.
She's eye candy for him and us.
And well, I don't know. She's not all that.
I will admit I had a huge crush on her back in the day. I still find her quite attractive. I don't know. I've always thought she was pretty.
I think she's pretty, but like Sherry Moon Zombie, that's my girl crush. Joan Jett, that's my girl crush. Lana Del Rey.
I'm not going to argue that none of them are pretty too, because they're all very pretty. So
Jessica Alba just never did it for me.
I approve of all those girl crushes because, yeah, you got good taste.
Right?
But so he tells her that he's like, I got into a fight with my cat. He's all covered in blood. She goes, it looks like you got your ass kicked.
Because he did.
Right. And she's like, so you came over here looking for your cat and then hid in my bush. But
wah, wah.
And she's very clearly kind of into him, and he's trying to go. And, you know, she's telling him that, you know, he should come inside. She never got to properly thank him for returning her book.
And, come inside.
<ba-dum-bum>. And then, you know, the evil hand kind of forces him to go in. And so they go upstairs. They're in her bedroom, and he starts gushing about how much he loves her lyrics. And this is the whole devil girl thing that you read earlier.
Oh my God.
It's like, it's poetry. It's brilliant. And then he reads off that or recites that. And she kind of laughs and says, you know, she was 13 when she wrote that.
Of course she was.
Right. And he's like, well, you know, I love it. I think they're great. So she turns her back to him to go put on some music, and the evil hand grabs a pair of scissors, and Anton's fighting his hand off and makes it drop the scissors. And he tries to leave and tells her and she tells him that it's safer in there with her, with that killer running outside, or safer in there with her than outside with the killer on the loose. That's how she said it. And he goes, but that's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm dangerous. I've done stuff. And she's like, oh, yeah, OK. And then he just grabs her ass hard with the evil hand. And she's into it. She's like, I'm impressed. I didn't think you'd have the balls to grab me like that.
So that whole exchange reminded me of Pee-wee's Big Adventure when he's like, I'm a loner, Dottie, a rebel. You don't want to get mixed up with a guy like me.
I've done stuff, man. I'm bad.
I've seen some stuff.
I've done some things and seen some shit. I wouldn't recommend it.
Also, I just want to say, like, he is covered in blood. He's probably super stinky. because he didn't shower that day. So now we're at least at 24 hours, no shower. But maybe some girls like that.
You know, I had this thought the entire, this entire scene, because I'm like, he's covered in blood, like both his friend's blood and his parents' blood. He clearly hasn't showered. Like, he did say it's been a couple of days, and we see how he wakes up and just wears the shit he was sleeping in. Pretty sure he was wearing that before he went to bed anyway.
Right.
He's got, like, crusty-ass stank clothes on. He's got his friend's pants on. Like, this guy has got a stink to high heaven. And apparently she's into it, because she knocks him on the bed and they start making out. And the evil hand repeatedly grabs at her neck. She keeps, I love it because there's this great bit of physical comedy where she grabs the hand and moves it onto her back, and the hand just taps its fingers annoyed and then grabs her neck again. And eventually he grabs the hand. I don't even know what he grabbed. Like, did he yank something out of his pocket? It was like a big string of cloth, but he ties up the evil hand with it. And she's like, "Oh, you're kinky." And they continue making out while the evil hand struggles to no avail. Then we cut to Debbie coming into town, and then we cut back to the bedroom post-coitus, because Molly and Anton are half-dressed, laying in bed. We hear a car pull up, and she goes, "Oh, shit, my parents are home." And she goes, "We'll have to pick this up later, baby snakes." Now, I wrote this down because I thought the closed captioning was incorrect. I was like, did she call him baby cakes and it thought it was baby snakes? But no, she says baby. They say baby snakes again.
Yeah,
later.
They say baby. Yeah, it's baby snakes.
So apparently,
so she's calling him a micro penis.
He was the true P-Nub.
Yeah.
Oh,
so maybe P-Nub is an oxymoron. Am I even using the right word? I don't know. It's been a long week.
Oh, man. So really, it's P-Nub is hung and Anton is the baby penis.
Yeah, he's like, he's got himself a
baby snake.
It's like a missile. A P-Nub is a missile then.
Good old missile dick.
A pussy-sicking missile.
But she says, "We'll have to pick this up later, baby snakes, because my parents might take offense to some dirty, bloody boy banging their daughter." And I'm like, you should probably take offense to that as well, lady.
So if he hasn't showered in a few days, can you just imagine, like, as a woman, like, I get, like, everyone has different things that turn them on. But, like, the Famunda cheese, like, the crotch rot that's there at that point, like, you're borderlining on, like, Toxic Avenger.
And you figure he's a stoner, so he's probably sitting there farting and shitting all day.
He's probably got poop tracks in his underwear.
Oh,
I wouldn't doubt it.
I can't believe I said poop tracks. I'm a 41-year-old grown woman, and I said poop tracks.
That makes me happy. Poop tracks.
He's probably so stoned that he's like, It's really light brown. It's more of a yellow at this point. It's all good.
See, and that's the thing. Like, I get it. Like you're saying, everyone's got their own thing. And I do know people that actually say they enjoy the smell of sweat, which
you always, and I both know someone.
Yeah, I know a few, actually. And I'm like, and it doesn't do it for me.
I don't.
But even if you like the smell of sweat, I don't know anyone that likes the smell of stank dick. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a whole other level.
Stink tick. Like, at least get baby wipes and wipe the bits.
Right. I mean, at the least, go and sink wash your boys before you do that. You know?
I can't believe that this episode has turned into a conversation about sexual fetishes surrounding the smell of body odor.
And Toxic Avenger.
And Toxic Avenger dick.
Good old stank dick.
Like, would it be like a pH stick at that point? Like, would it turn colors if it didn't mesh? Or is that just a sign of disease?
Probably both.
Okay. Moving along.
So they make plans to go to the dance together and for the next night, for Halloween night. And we cut to Anton in his backyard, having just buried his friends and family.
That shit is still gonna smell. He did not bury them deep enough.
Nope.
He essentially dug like what I don't know what my friend's dog has dug in their backyard.
You know what it reminded me of is, do you remember in Friday the 13th 5 where Jason was under like 6 inches of dirt and they just kind of kicked it off of him?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it made me think of. So he's given this eulogy about how, you know, mom and dad, you know, I love you both and I'm sorry that I killed you. I guess I've been a bad son. And then he talks to Mick and Peanut. He's like, I'll never forget all the times we, you know, got stoned and sat around watching TV, and the other times, well, I guess that's all we did. It's like, he's just sitting there. And then we hear Mick yelling from underground. And Anton gets down on the ground. He's like, Mick. And he's like, yeah, it's me. Let me out of here. He goes, but you're dead. And he's like, I'm talking to you, asshole. So he's arguing about how he's not dead. He must have been knocked out. And Anton freaks out and just, he lays down on the ground and starts smoking up. But suddenly Mick rises from the grave, grabs
him. It's a Mick-erection.
A Mick-erection?
A Mick, I was trying to say like resurrection, but a Mick-erection.
Gotcha.
Maybe that sounds dirty though. Mick-erection.
Well, especially on the heels of Stank Dick.
Yeah. I mean, he does. Never mind. I don't want to go there with the beer bottle. Rule 42.
Oh, it's yeah. Yeah. Oh, wait, rule 34.
34. What is rule 42? Is there a rule 42?
Oh, I'm sure there is, but 42 is the
yes. Main. 42 is thou shall not have sex with Stink Dick.
I'm actually going to consult the bones. We're going to go to Urban Dictionary for this one. Carry on. Rule 42.
So Anton freaks out. Like I said, he goes to smoke up, and then Mick rises from the grave, and then Peanut rises from the grave, and he's freaking out. He's like, but you guys are dead. And then he almost steps on Peanut's head. And he's like, hey, watch it. And he turns around, and Peanut's body smacks him in the head with a shovel, knocking him out.
Okay, I got rule 42.
All right, what you got?
It's really not that great. The general rule that you should always bring a towel just in case you do something stupid. So at least people will say, hey, that guy or gal really knows where their towel is. Coincidentally, this is also the meaning of life and all questions, because all answers can be deprived from 42. An example of this would be, how many minutes does it take to make a marshmallow peep? The answer is 42, because 4 + 2 = 6, and it takes 6 minutes to make. That makes no fucking sense.
It's a Hitchhiker's Guide reference.
No, I got the Hitchhiker's Guide reference, but I don't get the towel piece.
Oh, that's also a Hitchhiker's Guide.
Is it?
Yeah, they always say, never always bring a towel.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, so it's all Hitchhiker's Guide stuff.
I just lost street cred. So rule 34. Rule 34. Okay.
Rule 34. So we cut to the next morning. Anton wakes up. We get a repeat of the headphone incident. He thinks it's all a dream. And he's like, oh man, that was a fucking intense dream. And he gets up, staggers downstairs, and he hears Mick and Peanut talking in the living room. And he excitedly runs over to tell them about the dream he had. And he finds zombie Mick tossing cheese puffs at Peanut's severed head.
While ready. We're getting thrice the Rob Zombie this month.
Yep.
Because Dragula is playing on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
There's a lot of zombie stuff in this, because there's a scene where it's during the chiller moment where Anton's fighting with the hand. We get a shot of Night of the Living Dead. So a zombie's there. Then we get Rob Zombie with Dragula. Then later on, we get Dawn of the Dead. So there's a lot of zombie stuff on the TV. But so he freaks out, and they tell him to calm down. They're like, you know, hey, they're like, calm down. We've had some time to think about it, and, you know, we forgive you. Peanut's like, yeah, sorry about that whole shovel thing. And he's like, but I was mad. You killed me. And then he's like, why are you here? And because he said, they're like, well, your parents are dead, so we figured we could hang out. And he's like, no, I mean, like, why are you alive? And he's like, oh, well, undead, really. But yeah. there was this whole like white light and there were like girls singing and telling us to come there. It's like real weird music, you know, like Enya. They're like, they're telling us to come down there and come to them. And he's like, but it was really fucking far, like really far. So we said, fuck it. So they didn't go to the light because it was too long of a walk. I love that.
I mean, they're cannabis. They're very much cannabis enthusiasts. So yes. That would be tiresome for them.
So the evil hand starts to attack Anton again. And P-Nub is like, I've been meaning to ask you, Anton, what's with the hand? He's like, I don't know. I think it's possessed. And they're like, you need to find someone that knows about the devil and shit.
And they're like, let's go see Good Value Bon Jovi.
Right. And we cut to the Burger Jungle, where there's a memorial for the Feldstein twins. And Randy is standing by his truck, once again, listening to Shout at the Devil. And then he walks over to the memorial and starts talking to Tanya. Oh, my God. Now, I didn't write the whole conversation down, but he's hitting on her. And she's saying how she felt so bad because they asked her out once and she turned him down. She goes, they asked me for a double date and I thought they were retarded or something because there's just one of me. Randy's like, oh, wow. And she goes, so I told him to go blow each other.
Well, did they?
Yes, I love it.
That's such a great response, though.
It reminded me so much of the line in Mallrats where fucking Brody is telling the story about his cousin jerking off on the plane. Yeah. And fucking, was it, oh God, I forget the guy's name, but Dante is playing the character. And he's like, well, did he come or what? And he goes, Jesus Christ, man, there's just some stuff you don't say. Oh, that had me fucking crying. But so we cut to Anton heading to Burger Jungle, fighting his hand the entire way. And we see Randy clearly trying to pick up Tanya. And he's mentioning, they're talking about high school. He's like, I got out of there about 3 years ago. So he's that sad guy picking up high school chicks.
Yep.
And Anton interrupts him, which pisses off Randy. Tanya leaves. And then he's like, you fucking cock blocked me. And he starts asking him what he knows about the devil.
Randy, I know, wants to shout.
Shout at him.
Yes.
Well, Randy gets in his car and basically fuck you, Anton, and takes off, drives straight over the memorial and goes to the drive-thru. And then Anton grabs the Feldstein twins uniform that was out there, one of the uniforms, puts it on quickly, runs inside, passes by the manager. He's like, oh, you must be the new hire. He's like, yeah, I got drive-thru duty. And he runs in the kitchen and we see just tons of implements for destruction, knives and cleavers and fryers and all that. And he's like, oh shit.
And he pushes poor Tom DeLonge out of the way.
Yep. I was just going to say, he runs over to the drive-thru window and we get the Tom DeLonge cameo.
He's a fucker. I fucking hate him. Anyway.
Kind of indifferent, but you know.
I got nothing against him. I mean, he's a little out there, but I don't think he's...
I hate his goddamn voice.
Oh, I thought you were saying that because of his conspiracy theories and stuff.
No, let your freak flag fly. Let your freak flag fly.
Fry?
Fly.
Well, I mean, they are in a restaurant, so I guess they couldn't fry it, deep fry it.
I just can't fucking stand his voice. Me, me, me. That's what he sounds like.
Well, I definitely like them better with Matt Skiba, but I like Matt Skiba's voice, so.
Agreed.
Oh, wait, Susie, how does he sound again?
Me, me, me.
Oh, worth it. Worth it.
I hate him. I hate his voice so much.
So now Randy is trying to order some food at the drive-thru and Anton just goes, tell me everything you know about the devil. And he's like, Anton, what the hell are you doing? They have this back and forth where Anton is insisting that he must know something about the devil. He, you know, he's had to have picked something up from all the music he listens to. And he's like, dude, it's just like Mozart or that other guy. And he goes, Beethoven. He goes, yeah, it's just like that, only heavier. He goes, I don't know anything about the devil. And then while they're talking, the evil hand grabs a knife and tries to kill the manager. He throws it at him, but the manager ducks down to pick up lettuce, and he's like, we need to keep it clean in here, people, and the knife just misses him. And then, so Randy tells Anton, he's like, look, all I know is that the idle hands, or that idle hands are the devil's playground. It's like, you got to stay busy. It keeps you out of trouble. He goes, that's why I work on my car so much, or on my truck so much. Keeps me out of trouble. And so Anton's like, oh, that actually makes sense. We cut to him at home knitting. While watching TV with Mick and Peanut. And they have the TV super loud. So the two dipshit cops show up from earlier show up, and they're like, yeah, this is the house for the noise complaint. He's like, I think this is the Tobias place. So they look in the window and they see what they think is Anton sitting next to two corpses knitting. And they're like, oh my God, Anton's the killer.
I mean, so, it's really not far off, though.
Technically they're correct. Right. It was his hand doing the killing. But the one guy wants to call in help. And he's like, no. He's like, if we take care of this, or he says, what does he say? We don't want the feds getting all the credit. He goes, if we take care of this, we'll get all the credit for it. So they bust down the door and they start threatening him, you know, put down the needle or put down the weapons. That's what he's got, knitting needles. And P-Dub talks. He's like, maybe you should do. That's about as far as he got. The guy screams and shoots him in the head.
And he's like, never mind.
He goes, I was going to say, maybe you should do what they say, but fuck it. Then Mick stands up. He's like, he goes, Anton, maybe you should watch out. He goes, you don't want to go to jail or nothing. And he goes, wait, yeah, no. I want to go to jail. He's like, put me in jail. Cuff me. Because he's thinking, you know, then he can't hurt anybody. So they're telling him to just drop the knitting needles. And he's yelling, cuff me. We get this back and forth. And freaking P-Dub's like, maybe you should just kill him. Just antagonizing. And then they don't cuff him. Evil Hand takes one of the knitting needles, stabs it clean through the ear of one of the cops.
That was great, though.
Oh, yeah, that was a great death. I mean, it came out the other eye, or other side. And then he grabs the taser and fries the other cop. He tases him in the face. So, dead cop.
Tasered!
He's Taser Face.
Yeah.
Taser Face. I'm Taser Face.
Is that going to be a new Cenobite?
That's from Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Taser Face.
Oh, that's right.
And then, so Anton freaks out and he's like, that's it. I can't live like this. And he runs into the other room and Mick turns off the TV. He's like, we better go check on him. And we see him, he's putting rubber bands around his wrist, and he puts his hand in a bagel slicer.
It's called the bagel guillotine.
Guillotine, yep.
And he's like, dude, that thing won't even cut my bagel. What are you doing? And he slashes down the top of it, and of course the blade bends. And he's like, oh, son of a bitch. And he goes, Mick, get the electric carver. And then we get the famous scene.
Oh my God, I love this. Look at me, I'm Leatherface.
And he's like running over with the electric carver, and then it unplugs and he goes, oh. He just looks all sad. So he's like, screw it, and he grabs a cleaver and he goes to chop his hand, and his hand's jumping around, so he keeps missing. And then he puts the hand in front of Peanut's mouth. He goes, Peanut, bite down. He goes, don't hit me, man. And then comes down with the hatch or the cleaver. Screams bloody murder. You see that the hand has been chopped off. And then Mick comes running over with a fucking clothes iron.
And cauterizes it.
And he goes, I had to stop the bleeding. Don't you ever watch ER? Oh, man. And the beat up goes, ooh, that's going to get infected. And he's like, we need antiseptic. It's like, Anton, do you have any antiseptic? And he's just like kind of shaking his head, kind of getting in a daze and slinking down against the floor. And he's like, we're going to go back to Peanut's house. He's got a medic kit. And then he goes, ooh, and burritos. He's like, and burritos. So they rush back to his house. Anton's laying there kind of going into shock. And then we hear something skittering around. He perks up, looks, sees written in blood on the floor. Bad move, Anton. He grabs the cleaver and starts searching for the now disembodied hand. Molly comes up to the door, so we cut to her knocking on the door outside. wait, you know, all dressed up for the dance.
I don't like to wait.
You know, I had an inkling that would annoy you.
She's a real fucking bitch. I don't like her. She's a real fucking bitch.
I actually have in my note here, I wonder if Susie will hate her here.
Oh. I don't like to wait. Well, princess, fuck off.
Oh.
Eat shit and be mad about it.
Oh, I love that. That's a great insult. Oh, man. So he's trying to find the hand. She's yelling outside. Then the hand is like holding onto the molding above the walkway and drops on Anton's head. And so he's fighting with the hand, eventually gets it off his face and throws it in the microwave and cooks it, which is a great scene.
Yes.
And then she's like, I'm sick of waiting. I'm coming inside. And he runs over and you know, stops her from coming in so she doesn't see all the blood and gore and dead bodies everywhere.
Dead bodies everywhere! Oh, wow. I went back to Korn on that one.
And then he gets outside. He's got the bloody stump wrapped in a plastic bag. And she goes, what are you supposed to be? And he's like, fast food employee who cut off his own hand? And she's like, oh. Now, keep in mind, dude still hasn't showered.
Right.
So, oh, I could smell him through the TV.
Right.
It was ripe with decay.
And stank dick.
Yeah.
So now behind them, we see P-Nub and Mick coming back to the house. And, you know, Anton kind of like shoves Molly aside and is like, meet me at the dance. I'll meet you there. You know, I can't leave my house this messy because I made a mess making my costume. My parents are going to freak. I'll meet you there. And inside we see we see Peanut or Peanut reading the directions on the burrito package. And that's when Mick's like, I can't do this anymore. And he gets a fucking carving fork, jams it in the severed head, and then slides the rest down the stump of his neck.
No, it's because he eats the burrito.
No, that's coming up.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yep, that's right.
That's because he was getting annoyed that his head was like down below.
Yes. Reading,
and he's like, I can't do this anymore. So he shoves it on his neck and he's like, oh, thanks, man. And then they go to open the microwave, but they see all the gunk in there. And he goes, ew, should we clean it first? And he's like, oh, yeah. It's like, and while we're at it, let's clean the whole fucking house. This ain't our mess. And he opens up the microwave and the evil hand jumps out the window. And they're like, oh, that can't be good. And then they just throw the burrito in the microwave and heat it up.
Yeah, they're like, eh, whatevs.
And then, so we cut outside again to Anton talking to Molly. He convinces her to go. And he comes running back inside right before he gets inside, we cut back to P-Nub and Mick eating the burritos. And that's when we see fucking P-Nub. It's so gross. He chews and he swallows and all this gunk comes out of the stump in his neck.
It's burrito jizz.
Right. And like bloody goop. Oh, it was disgusting. Because Mick goes, oh, ew. That's disgusting. And he goes, wait, I can fix that for you. So he grabs the duct tapes his neck back on, or his head back on. And he's like, oh, cool, thanks. And then he continues eating his burrito. And this is when Anton comes in, finds them there, finds the hand gone. He's like, oh, no, no, no. And he goes, sorry, man, we only had two. And he goes, you guys let the hand get away. And he's like, well, fuck you then. They're just totally oblivious to how bad they fucked up. But then we cut outside. We see the hand crawling down the street. So now we cut to Randy at the bowling alley, bowling very badly.
Oh, my God.
And we see Debbie show up, and she's kind of like looking around, eyeballing everyone's hands. So Randy comes up to her, and he goes, hey, Foxy, you looking for a ball? Because I could help you find one that's the right size. And she goes, what the hell? Try to keep up. So Randy gonna get lucky. And so then, you know, we cut to them talking about why she's in town. she tells him that he doesn't want to know. And he's like, oh, no, no, really? I want to know. I'm interested. She goes, OK, I come from a long line of druidic priestesses sworn to fight a certain force that possesses the laziest fuck up it can find. It will kill as many people as possible and then drag a free soul to the netherworld. And he goes, that's some weighty shit right there. And then she's talking about, you know, how it possesses a hand. And Randy's like, hey, wait a second. He tells her about Anton. And she's like, don't you fuck with me, boy. He's like, I'm not fucking with you.
She like is about to choke him out over it.
He looked terrified.
I will say this, like that whole sequence in the bowling alley, it really made me miss my bowling league.
Yeah.
Fuck you, COVID.
Yeah, seriously. I miss doing things other than just being at home.
You know? I miss my bowling league and Thursday night beers. And
I miss going to see movies and, you know, going to comic cons and whatnot. But
I miss concerts.
Yeah.
Did you guys have COVID start just so I didn't have to go to any kind of conventions with you? Are you too embarrassed to be seen with me in public?
Yes.
Is that what this is about?
That is all this is about.
God damn it, I knew it.
So we cut to so Randy and Debbie take off going to look for Anton. And we cut to Anton searching outside for his hand, and on written on the fence in blood, we see she's mine. So Anton freaks out, the hand is after Molly. Inside we see Peanut and Mick watching Dawn of the Dead. And then Anton tells them that they need to go to the dance because it's after Molly. And Peanut's like, he goes, oh, yeah, we should go. We'll probably win best costume. And chicks dig winners. I'll probably hook up. And then Mick goes, yeah, because severed heads are a real turn on.
I mean, just think about it, ladies.
I mean, well, you know.
He seems to be doing pretty good but with that, so.
This is true.
I mean, he could blow himself without having any ribs removed.
That is true.
Oh.
And I just went all Marilyn Manson conspiracy.
See, now there's an urban legend that we didn't talk about last week. Oh, man. So this is when, Anton's freaking out. He's like, we need to go. Mick tells him, he's like, you know, you need to just calm down and smoke up and take a little Anton time. He's like, it's been a really stressful couple of days. And Anton looks at the pot and he's like, no, you know what? Not this time. This time I'm actually going to do something with my life. And Mick stops. He's like, okay. No Kevin Costner speeches. Let's just go.
That was so great, though.
That was. So now they're off to the dance and they're leaving to go to the dance. Debbie and Randy show up. And they see the three of them getting into Randy's truck. And he's like, don't let them steal my Ford. And then she goes running over to the car. And Anton flips down the visor inside the truck and the keys fall out. And Mick goes, well, that was lucky. He's like, shit, it couldn't have been an automatic. So he tells Mick that he's going to have to shift for him. And they shift back and into reverse. He takes off. They smack Debbie. She goes flying.
And oh, like, my God. That looked like it hurt so bad.
There was like some fucking Crouching Tiger, Hidden. It was a Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Crouching, yes. Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Fucking wire foo. She went flying. But they're like, what was that? They're like, no. So they go take it off. And then Randy goes running over. First, he runs after his truck. Then he runs to see if Debbie's okay. And he gives a devious look, like he looks around creepily and then starts giving her mouth to mouth.
Yeah, she wants to steal her truck.
Right. And then she jumps back to life and she's like, ah, oh, who's got the barf breath? Like, so pretty much everyone in this movie must stink.
And then we cut to, meanwhile, in the Kiss Army van.
Yes. We see the two making out. She's complaining that it's too hot and that her makeup is melting off. So he rolls down one of the windows. Now, I'm sorry, right before that happens, we see the hand scurry down the front window. And then they roll down the window. So, of course, the hand scurries in. And now we get our dem titties moment. So she takes her shirt off. He starts grabbing her boobs and then starts to kind of go down on her. And then we see the hand crawling up between her boobs and the hand starts grabbing her boobs. She notices and screams. So the hand jumps up and starts choking her out.
That's a pretty smart hand.
Right? It's like, oh shit, she noticed. Yeah. So he kills her and then the guy tries to get out. The hand jumps on him, bashes his head against the window, and we just see splatter go everywhere. So Anton and his friends show up. They know the hand is there because they find the bodies in the car, and they go off to search. And this is when we get the Offspring cameo. We see the inside of the dance. Offspring's on stage singing I Want to Be Sedated, which I love that cover.
Mm-hmm. I do too. They went, so here's my question. Is it the Offspring there as the Ramones, or are the Ramones there in costume as the Offspring?
Oh, good question. And then we see Molly and Tanya dancing, and Molly is just dancing so badly. I'm sorry.
Molly is dancing like she's at the Continental.
Yes, she's basically mirror dancing to fucking I Want to Be Sedated while everyone else is jumping around. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yes.
Oh,
but she's sad, so of course she's dancing all goth like. So she's like, I know why.
Don't
you're sad.
Do not use the G word for her. as a fellow elder goth, that is offensive to me.
Oh, you missed our conversation last week about fucking Danielle Harris and her goth for goth website.
Oh my god.
Oh, it was quite amusing. But because again, we had a gothy McPlot device.
We're just gonna say she was early emo.
Oh god, goth with color.
She's wearing white, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, emo, that's goth with color. So her friend is like, I'm gonna go get us some punch, I'll be right back. And then we see Mick and Peanut come walking in. Tanya sees him. She's like, oh my god, your costumes are great. And he's like, thanks, I made them myself. Or no, he goes, thanks. And he goes, I guess Anton made them for her, because she asks who made them for you. He goes, I guess Anton did. And he's like, based on my designs, though. And she's like, wanna dance? And he's like, oh yeah. She grabs him and runs off, and he grabs his head. He goes, oh, careful, it's on a little loose.
And is this when we get to phone sex teacher?
Yeah, because Anton goes in searching for the hand, and we see the principal's office with the hand sneaking in. Go ahead.
And he's just like, no, I can confirm my credit card number. Oh, the simpler times.
Mm-hmm.
When you paid 99 cents for the first minute and then $3.99 for each additional minute to talk dirty to someone.
Now you just sext with people.
Right. You just send pictures of your boobies and stank dick.
Yeah.
Do you guys
pretty much
remember that, like, it was after like 3 o'clock in the morning on like Fox and freaking TNT and stuff, they'd have that fucking infomercial with the different women. It was like, pick up the phone, I'm all alone.
Yes. And I'm not gonna lie, I am not ashamed to admit this. I thought that would have been a lucrative career choice, because they don't care what you look like. They just care about your voice. And I've been told in the past that I would be a good phone sex operator. But you know what? It is a blessing in disguise that I didn't go into that, because I would be out of a job now.
True.
I would have to get a friends only. And I don't want to put pictures of myself on the internet. Shit, I don't even like looking at myself when I get out of the shower.
Yeah.
But simpler times, when I could just be like, hey, big boy, what are you wearing?
Do you have stank dick tonight?
I really love the stank dick. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I smell cottage cheese. Oh, God, I'm making myself sick. Let's keep going.
So...
anyway,
yeah. The principal. The principal is calling a sex line and talking to somebody dirty. And he's like, oh, you got me so hot. It's like I can feel you touching me. And we see the hand crawling up his pant leg.
And he's like, I really can feel you touching me.
And then he looks down, the hand busts out of his zipper and stabs him in the gut and kills him. And then we cut to Anton. He finds a dead principal.
Do you know what lesson is to be learned from that?
What's that?
Don't call phone sex lines from the company phone.
Good point.
It's against policy.
Yep. It's going to get you killed by a severed hand.
Yep.
So we cut to Randy and Debbie heading into the dance, looking around. Then we cut to the hand in another room, sharpening his fingers in a pencil sharpener.
And it's an old school one, like mounted to the wall.
No, it was one of those desk ones. It was the electric one.
Yeah, it was the desk one.
Oh, that's right. It was.
He stuck his finger and it was like, and then he pulled it out. It was like a bone spike. Which I'm sure those things did not have that much power because I could barely get it to sharpen a fucking pencil. So.
Right.
But then Debbie runs into Anton and she's like, wait, I know exactly what's happening to you and I can help you stop it. And he's like, really? How? And she pulls out a fucking dagger and just goes, die! It starts running at him. So they're fighting. And she's like, the host of evil must die. And she's trying to stab him. And then freaking Randy, you know, comes in. He's like, oh, ain't that a little bit much, kitten? Rolling around on the floor. And then Anton shows her that he cut off his hand. He's like, you know, I'm not the host of evil anymore. I cut off my hand. And she goes, oh, that was really fucking stupid. He goes, yeah, I kind of figured that out. you know, he tells her how they got to stop. And he's like, it's after my girlfriend. And Randy's like, you got a girlfriend? She goes, if it's after her, we definitely have to stop it before midnight because it's going to drag her soul to hell. And he looks at the clock and sees that it's not even 9 yet. He's like, oh, good. We still got time. And she goes, no, it's actually. And she flips open this little watch. She goes, 6 minutes to midnight. Druid time. And he goes, Druid time. Of course.
Funny. She doesn't look Druish.
Exactly. I kept thinking. Well, earlier when I had to say Druidic priestesses, I almost said Druidic princess.
It would have been an honest mistake, so I don't think anyone would fault you.
You know, Spaceballs, it's just part of the culture. But
Spaceballs, the horror movie.
So we cut to fucking Peanut making out with Tanya, and Mick goes, dude, that's disgusting and illegal. You're dead. And he just goes, and keeps making out with her.
It's that dun, dun, love.
So now we cut to Anton getting up on the stage, knocking the offspring out of the way and trying to warn everybody what's going on. While he's doing that, we see the hand locking the door and locking everyone in the room. And then Anton's getting booed. Shit's getting thrown at him. And finally, Dexter shoves him aside. He's like, all right, you've had your fun. Get out of here. And the hand drops on his head and fucking scalps him.
And that's fucking great.
Oh, that was a great death. So people panic, freaking out. And now I want to know how high this fucking hand can jump, because it went from Dexter's head to now it's up in the fucking rafters cutting the light fixtures down. I was like, damn, that thing gets around quick.
But it sucked the power out of Dexter, which allowed it to jump that far. Yeah. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I think it used that a Mario double jump, you know, where it could jump in midair.
Yes.
But so he cuts the light fixtures, which falls down, crushes a bunch of people. Everyone's panicking, trying to get out. Doors are locked. Molly and Tanya go to the air duct. And you know, Tanya's like, you want to go in there? She's like, do you want to get trampled or killed? So they go in. You know, crying all. Tanya's crying all the way as they're climbing through the air duct. We see the hand follow them in. Now they eventually get to this giant fucking fan, and they're like, "Well, you know, it's dead end. We're gonna die in here."
And she fucking MacGyvers it with a high heel.
Yeah, she goes, "Give me one of your shoes," and she fucking jams it in the fan blade against the like the metal guardrail, and it stops the fan from spinning. But we see it's very precariously stopped, like it keeps trying to push it. So she then kicks out the metal gate or metal grating and takes, I don't know, was it a whip? What the hell was it that Tanya had? It was like some length of rope. I think it was like a whip.
I thought it was her tail because she was a devil.
But it was like black.
I mean, maybe she could only find a black tail.
Yeah, man, it was a really long tail then.
I really don't know.
But she wraps it around the like part of the beam and lowers herself down. And she's like, come on, Tanya, come on, follow me. And she won't. She's freaking out. She's like, you know, I can't. I'm going to get killed, blah, blah, blah. We cut to P-Nub and Mick in the air duct. And he's like, you know, this would be a lot easier if your ass wasn't so wide. He's like, shut up. They're arguing back and forth. And then they hear Tanya. And P-Nub goes, he's like, ooh, that's Tanya. She needs our help. Let's go. Start crawling faster. And this is when Mick gets his bottle stuck.
Yep. That's so fucking funny.
It gets stuck in the air duct and he can't move. He goes, well, that's not good. Like, he, and then Peanut yanks his head out and he's like, oh, thanks, dude. And they keep going.
But the thing that I hate about that scene is that you expect, like, I always expect it's going to be like the, like, opening the bottle, like the top comes off, but it doesn't.
I know. That was such a missed opportunity.
Oh.
It could have.
Somebody needs to remake this movie with that opportunity found.
Right. But so they go running and or go crawling faster toward the screams of Tanya. And then we cut to Molly. Now she's out of the vent on the floor and she's calling up to Tanya like, come on, you got to hurry up. And she's like, but I'm scared. And then we see the rope get pulled up. She goes, why did you pull up the rope? And she goes, I didn't. What are you talking about? And she goes, oh, God, it's in here, isn't it? And then the rope wraps around her throat. We see her struggling. Suddenly, Tanya falls. And she's hanging, you know, hanging by the rope. And Molly's trying to help her out. But she, you know, she can't reach her. And the hand pulls the frickin' high heel out. It winds the rope up and yanks her up into the fan and chopped up Tanya. So
chum. She is a pile Tanya of got chum.
Blended.
Completely blended.
I'd like a Tanya smoothie, easy on the heels.
So Molly takes off running, and then we see her open the door to like an art room, and then a vase falls on her head. She just goes, ow, and passes out. And then we see Mick and P-Dub in the room covered with Tanya chunks. And Mick goes, oh, I'm not going through all that Tanya. And then he goes, now you're really not going to get any. He goes, man, it's just not fair. And he goes, you can go back if you want to get a piece.
But I'm pumped.
So we see Anton go to the art class. He's looking around for the hand. And we see a creepy puppet turn its head. He sees it, runs and tackles it, and we get a puppet fight.
Shane was like, what the fuck kind of art teacher is that?
Right. So he ends up like first he grabs the one puppet that, you know, he thought it was. And then we see the weird cartoony puppet that it actually gets into. So he's fighting this fucking cartoon character. He gets an ashtray and is going to bash the hand with it. And then Mick and Peanut to the rescue. They fall out of the ceiling and land on him. Which cracked me up because they're like, hey, we're here to help you. And they once again let the hand get away. And he's like, what the hell, guys? And he goes, hey, Peanut goes, hey, I made that ashtray. And he goes, really? He goes, you let the hand get away again. And he goes, well, fuck you then. And he starts to walk away. And then we hear Molly scream. And we cut to her. She's tied on top of a car. And there's a pentagram on the ceiling. And she's slowly raising toward the pentagram. And which I find it funny that the lift would be, that it would go that high to the ceiling. You know, right. I feel like that there would be some safety measures in place so that it couldn't go that high, but, you know, whatever. Movie's got a movie, as Don said. So that was what we kind of coined a new phrase yesterday, or not yesterday, last movie was, movie's got a movie. So I like that. But so Anton runs in to help, and he goes to, like, pull her down, and he just ends up ripping off part of her costume. So now she's in her bra and panties and just starts screaming. And they see the puppet, like, the puppet hand trying to raise the car. So Mick goes and Anton runs over and starts fighting with it, but he's like, the little fucker's got a grip. And Mick and PETA try to help him. They can, like, all three of them can't single hand with no leverage. I don't know how that works, but, you know, whatever.
Movie.
Right, movie's got a movie. So Mick runs over and he sees this giant fucking bong backpack. And he goes, those shop boys are friggin' artistes. And then he picks it up and he goes, it's Mighty Joe Bong.
That's fucking great.
And Pete up goes, ooh, I needs me spinach. And he runs over and he's like, guys, what the hell? And he goes, what? It's for strength. And then Anton runs over and takes a massive hit. He's like, hey, there you go. Now you're taking Anton time. And Molly looks over and is like, you're getting high with your fucking friends. Unbelievable. And
so die mad about it, bitch.
So he goes running over and blows the smoke into the puppet, which then the puppet gets stoned, which again, we are totally in cartoon territory at this point. Oh. You know, the puppet's eyes roll back all bloodshot. You know, it's completely ridiculous.
Yeah, they're trying to stone him to death.
Ba-dum-bum. So the puppet, you know, lets go basically right as Molly's about to get squished. Like, her tits and her nose are pressed against the ceiling.
And she's like, oh.
She's like, I'm safe. And so they end up getting her down off of there. And her and Anton start making out. Then P-Nub's like, hey, I never got to take a hit off of that. So he goes to get Mighty Joe Bong from Mick. Falls backward into the car lift and hits the lever in the other direction, which drops the car onto Anton. So it's like, uh-oh, he done dead. Well, we think he's dead. And, I'm sorry, I missed a part. Ugh, I missed a part. Right before that happens, freaking the hand springs back to life and jumps at Anton. Debbie comes in the room and throws the dagger, and it pins the dagger to Mick. It starts squealing, and then it just goes, like a little pop. And he goes, that's it?
That's it? No explosions? No nothing?
No hellfire? I mean, yeah, I'm glad it's over, but that was freaking weak. And then that's when Debbie's like, well, my work here is done. She goes, time for the ritualistic sex. And she grabs Randy and goes, you coming? He's like, yes, ma'am. And they just take off. And that's when the whole makeout happens. The car falls. Then we see the garage door open and there's a bright light, and P-Nub and Mick are like, eh, what the hell? P-Nub goes, don't forget my bong. He goes, you did not make that. He's like, the ashtray I can almost believe, but this one you didn't make. And so they head off and they go, Anton, are you coming? We get a bright white light and we cut to Anton laying in a hospital bed in a full body cast being fed pudding by Molly. And she's like, you blew off heaven to kick it with me. You're the coolest. It's like, come on. So we see P-Nub and Mick show up and they're guardian angels. So he's like, hey, guys, you got into heaven. He's like, yeah, but we're your guardian angels now. And he's like, can we get you anything? And I forgot, he asked for some kind of snack from the vending machine. And they're like, all right, we'll be right back. And he's like, turn off the lights on your way out. So they turn off the lights. And then we see written on the ceiling above Anton's bed, I'm under the bed. He starts screaming bloody murder. We see the two, you know, the stoner angels out in the hallway. And Mick goes, you're right. He does scream like a girl. And then he goes, should we tell him that, or should we tell him we painted that on the ceiling? And he's like, fuck it. Let's go walk through a nurse. And then P-Nub goes, watch it. Some of them are guys. And get the credits.
Here are some questions. So who's going to pay the mortgage going forward and the bills?
Right.
What's going to happen to Anton? How do you explain all the bodies? Like, you still have mom and dad rotting in the backyard in a shallow grave. They obviously smell as bad as he smells like a fucking corpse.
Right.
So she's into necrophilia.
Well, don't forget, there's two dead cops in his house.
Right.
There was a cop car in front of his house that was called there for a noise complaint. So the police station knows that they went there for a noise complaint.
And now there's two dead cops. And let's face it, you die natural or by another's hand. Those hardwood floors are ruined.
Yep.
There's poo-poo and pee-pee all over them. And they've been sitting there like, oh
yeah, it taint good.
Yeah, it taint good for sure, for sure.
I didn't write down a ton of the trivia, but a couple things I found interesting was this was filmed in the same neighborhood that they filmed Halloween 1978 in, so I thought that was kind of cool. The school gym where they filmed the Halloween dance is the same gym used for the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie and for Jawbreaker. So yep. Also in 1999. So I thought that was kind of neat.
That's all I had for that.
Yeah. And then there apparently was like a whole cut sequence with Jessica Alba's character, Molly, playing her bass guitar, because they kept talking about how she plays bass. But it ended up, it was there where Anton was watching her, but that gets cut. But there's a piece of it you can see when he goes to puke in the bushes. You can see her in the background on the balcony with her bass when P-Nub and Mick show up.
Yeah, I guess that was like a deleted scene or something.
Yeah, they said that was the only remnant that they couldn't really cut because other stuff was happening in the sequence. So, but the other thing, and I didn't know this, but apparently this movie was supposed to come out earlier and was delayed because of the Columbine Massacre. So
yeah, I read that.
There was a lot of stuff that got delayed after that. Like I remember there was a Buffy episode where there was like, you know, kids being killed by other kids in the school, and they delayed that for that very reason. Which again, good move, I get it, but it's like that happened a lot. So, but yeah, we already talked about a lot of the other stuff, like friggin' Tom DeLonge and all the different zombies. Wait, one more time. What did he sound like? I forget. It's not going to get old.
Why are you making him sound like Cartman?
Oh, I'm sorry, Eric Cartman. That's what he sounds like. Oh, there's like one specific lyric, and it was from one of their later albums before he left. He's like, "Where are you?" Oh, I hate him so much.
The funny thing
is stupid fucking voice, and oh, I wish his vocal cords would get ripped out.
Yeah, nah, they killed the good musician in this one. The funny thing is, even without you saying what the lyrics were, I knew exactly what you were saying. Like, I knew the right? song you were referencing. Oh man. But before we go any further, let's mention our social media. If you guys aren't following us on Facebook or Instagram, we're the Boogeyman's Closet. And Maurice, you handle our Twitter, which is?
@ Boogeyman's The.
Thank you, good sir. I know I've been mentioning this every single episode. I'm going to continue mentioning it. We have, our giveaways happening every month right through the end of the year. And I have a surprise for everybody this month. I will be announcing... the day this comes out, I will be announcing the first of two prize packages for October. We weren't going to do that, but I have enough prizes. The prize closet has grown so massive at this point that we can easily give away two prize packages in October, as well as still doing two prize packages in December. So thank you to everyone who has donated, because... it's ridiculous. I literally had to box some stuff up because I have so much stuff for these giveaways. It really blows my mind how people have come out for this. And we're having a blast with it. I love the fact that people are getting into this. And if we can make everyone a little bit happier in the shitty year that is 2020, I'm all for it. So again, thank you to everybody who donated. Thank you to everyone who's participating. And I hope everyone, continues to have fun with us. So... But anything you guys want to add to this? I mean, I know we kind of covered a lot already, but any remnants for Idle Hands you want to talk about?
I got nothing except the fact that at one point at the very end, they say revert back. That is one of my biggest pet peeves. Revert means to go back. So you're saying to go back, back. I fucking hate that.
Yeah. Yeah. I can understand that.
And that fucking dumb bitch.
Now enough.
That's all I got. That's enough all I got. With that.
So what you're saying is you don't want to watch Into the Blue.
I don't even know what that movie is.
That movie was terrible.
Well, then I guess I don't need to. Was Bloody Bloody Bible Camp better?
No.
Okay. I can't follow you there because at least there's eye candy in Into the Blue.
Okay. Is that something to do with like killer dolphins or seaweed?
It was like a sunken treasure, wasn't it? It's been a long time since I've seen it.
Oh, it's about pirate booty.
I just remember it was a Jessica Alba movie, and who was the lead guy in it? Wasn't it the dude from The Fast and the Furious?
Don't talk about Paul Walker like that.
I'm pretty sure it was, though. I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen
Into the Blue.
Yeah.
It was Paul Walker. A group of divers find themselves in deep trouble when a drug lord after they come upon the illicit cargo of a sunken airplane.
That's what it was. Okay. It's been a long time since I've seen it. It wasn't good. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, and it's got Tweeter from Varsity Blues in it. Scott Kahn, son of James Kahn.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh Brolin and Tyson Beckford. And it came out in 2005. Even the fucking poster looks horrible.
I mean, the cast was good, but yeah, not anything to write home about.
Rest in peace, Paul Walker. You were better than that movie.
Oh, man. But so, yeah. I think we'll probably wrap this up here, but join us again next week for another Halloween-y movie. So, all right, guys, this is Mike saying goodbye.
See ya.
I'm so excited for a Rob Zombie double feature, Bob.
Indeed. See ya.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, follow us on Instagram at The Boogeyman's Closet, where you can stay up to date with everything we have planned.